unless you have been born from above, born by the Spirit. Nicodemus is like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm paraphrasing now. I don't know, how do you, I'm an old man, I'm clearly not going to go back into my mother's womb and be born again. This is ridiculous. So Jesus, to help him out, says this. Verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And I'm sure at that point Nicodemus is like, super helpful. Really cleared everything up, didn't it? And so I can't see the kingdom of God, and now I cannot enter the kingdom of God unless I do this thing, and I don't understand what it is he's trying to tell me. And then Jesus, just to really get his attention, he says, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You're getting some clarity now, aren't we? What is he talking about? Well, that's a really good question. And when we think about the concept of flesh and spirit in the context of Scripture, if we're hearing about flesh, we're hearing about what? Sin. See, the real sinners always speak up. Thank you. The rest of us are going, he means sin, but I'm not going to say it. I don't mean it. That's what we see in Scripture, amen? That's where it comes from. And when we're in the Spirit is of whom? God. Well, I have no problem talking about being in the Spirit of God. Do you? No, we enjoy that. Being in the flesh? Let's try to stay away from that. That's a struggle, and that becomes a struggle. So when we start to hear that difference, we just have to begin to listen. What is Christ really saying? And what he's saying is, you have to be a whole new you. I'm calling you to be a whole new you. And in the midst of this teaching, Nicodemus is confused. And I think sometimes we are too. A whole new me, like born again. And we think, well, what does that even mean? How does that even happen? And I have to say to you, in my life, there's this moment I can look at where everything changed for me. I'd gotten engaged in the church. I was in my 30s at this time, early 30s, just a few years ago. And I was getting involved in everything. Would you do this? Would you do that? You can imagine being in your early 30s with a family in the Episcopal Church. People noticed you. In Southwest Florida, anyway. In Sarasota, most especially. And I just started to go along. That was a commitment I made to myself and to my wife, and not realizing a commitment to God, that I'm going to do whatever it is. I'm going to walk in this faith, however it is. And as I told my wife, if nothing changes, I'm done. If I get up on Sunday morning and it feels like a very difficult and tedious task, I'm not going to go. So with that open mind, I went to church and got involved. And people, hey, come and do this. Brian, why don't you do this? And I remember one Saturday, it was a church work day, there was this man, his name's Ben Johnson. He has since passed. Not the Ben Johnson you all know, so we're good. A much older man. And we were working on the property, and we had a ditch that went down two sides of the property, and he's down in the ditch with a weed eater. And I'm watching him work, and I'm thinking, this is crazy. He was roughly 82 years old. And I'm watching all that he's doing, and I see what all these other people are doing, and I just remember thinking to myself, I don't have another 50 years of this in me. I was exhausted already with all that they'd asked me to do. I'd gotten on the vestry. And then I got confirmed a year later. And see, this is how new I was. Nobody told me I had to be confirmed to be on the vestry, and nobody asked if I was. That's where I was in the church. They're like, hey, Brian, would you be willing to do this? I'm like, sure, I'll try anything. I like to make decisions, good, bad, or otherwise, which you already know. And the reality is I'm walking in it, and I'm just getting tired. Because I was walking in my flesh, not in the Spirit of God. And this same man, Ben Johnson, came to me and he goes, Brian, there's this retreat weekend. We want you and Susan to go. And I said, okay. Another wonderful person, a woman named Bobby Thompson, was talking to Susan at the same time. Now, Susan was going. That was a given. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll go. And they invited us to attend a Curcio weekend. Now, I don't know if some of you have attended Curcio weekend. Some of you have been asked. Some of are thinking about it, and some are just adamantly opposed to it. I would just say this. If you're in complete opposition to it, hang on. In general, really not my thing, but I went. And brothers and sisters, something happened there. In that opportunity, taken away from the busyness of life on retreat, a true retreat, I'm learning about God, I'm learning about our tradition, I'm learning about my faith, and I'm in this environment where the love of Christ is being poured out on me every minute of every day by His people. And it changed me. Literally on my knees. At the altar rail in St. Thomas Chapel in Dayspring, my life changed. Probably took longer than it should have. Everything shifted. Everything shifted. And I thought, this is what keeps Ben Johnson in the ditch with a weed eater at 82 years old. It's not about him. It's about serving God. In every single thing that he does, he was serving God. And then I started to look around and I'm realizing there's a lot of people doing that. And then recognizing the person who wasn't was me. There's been Sundays I've woken up since then and thought, I don't know if I really want to go to church. And then I get up and go anyway, most especially in the last 12 years for obvious reasons. But the concept is this. When it comes down to who you serve and that person happens to be God, when you are serving in the Spirit of God and not in your flesh, brothers and sisters, this really isn't that hard. Amen? This is this time where God reaches in, he grabs a hold of you and he says, come with me. I want you to be a different person. I'm going to change you. You will be born in the Spirit. Born again. My life changed so dramatically. I was talking to my mother, and we were on the phone. And she goes, what are you, one of those holy rollers or something? I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm happy to be that. I can remember my lovely wife telling her mother she was feeling the same way, and she's telling her, I think I understand now what it means to be born again. And she looks at her, she goes, don't tell your dad. Don't tell your dad. You'd be freaking people out, these born-again Christians. That was my father-in-law. Yeah, he didn't trust born-again Christians or drug addicts. When I gave his eulogy, I said, lucky for him, he got stuck with both. The reality is this, God changes you, brothers and sisters, and it's your choice. Because what he won't do is take your will from you. He will invite you to align it with his, but he will not take it from you. He is inviting Nicodemus and us today to say, I'm going to turn myself over to the Creator. I've been created by God for a purpose which he has already decided, and I can either live into that and enjoy, or I can spend the rest of my days fighting it. And brothers and sisters, I know people just like Ben, in the same age bracket of my friend Ben Johnson, that have sat in pews for 60, 70, 80 years and do not understand what it means to be born of the Spirit. It's just, I gotta do it. It's a task. Come closer, I'd say. Let your guard down, brothers and sisters. That's what we're invited to in this season of Lent, is to stop holding back. We hold back, amen? I hold back, not as much today as I often would in this circumstance. I am holding back. They're already watching me. They're going, how far is he going to go? I don't know yet. How long is the sermon going to be? Doesn't matter, really. A little bit. But the fact of the matter is this, what if it didn't? What if we weren't worried about being in church for an hour, hour and 15 minutes so we could get on with our life? What if being here meant everything to our life? Amen? What if following God and the Spirit of God changed your whole world to such a way that you would, I don't know, give up everything at the drop of a hat to follow Him? I can tell you this, that has happened in my life, and I couldn't be more grateful. I can remember that transition of thinking, I'm exhausted, Lord. I know you're there, and I'm coming after you, and I'm reaching out for you. I'm trying to find you, but this is too much work. Make it stop. It's too much. And then I had to stop and think about that moment when it shifted. What changed? And as I often tell people, what changed primarily is I got too close. I trusted Him too much. And all those things that I thought I was losing all the way along, after that moment, became nothing. It was nothing in comparison to being able to live in the Spirit of God. Nothing. The only regret I have is it took me 30-some years to be born in the Spirit of God. Wasted, I felt, those years. I have known people in their 80s who have come to know what it means to live in the Spirit of God in their 80s. And they're like, why did it take me so long? And brothers and sisters, if you're looking at me thinking he's just the crazy one and we kind of pay him to be a little bit like that, he should be all in with God. No, I am all in with God, and I'm here speaking to you today because God wants you all in with Him. He doesn't want you fighting against what He's doing. He wants you to get in line. Brothers and sisters, look back there in that chapel. Do you see that crucifix hanging on the wall? The crucified Jesus on the back wall? You want to know what He's willing to do to show you the depth of His love? You want to measure it? Measure it with that. And when He says to you, be born in the Spirit, come with me, let me be the potter, you be the clay, let me reform you, let me build you up, let me create you in my image, let me have your life. I want you to look at that measuring stick over there on that wall and ask yourself, what more do you need from Him? What more? He went to that cross for everything you have done and said and will do and say. He's done it. The only thing left is for you to decide where are you going to put your will, in alignment with Him or against Him. See, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus answers him, you're a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things. The teacher of Israel, who should have known exactly what was happening in front of him, a teacher of Israel who had been teaching the prophet Isaiah, who was foretelling this coming of Messiah, who is literally sitting in front of this man. How can these things be? And Jesus is like, really? I'm asking you the same thing, brother. How can this be? How are you sitting here with me acknowledging that the things I am doing can only be of God and yet wondering who I am? And Nicodemus knew who he was, just like we know who he is. But that's not enough. It's not enough to know about your Messiah. And an article that was given to me by our senior warden, I found this wonderful quote from Kerry Newhoff, and he says this, as soon as I can find it, too many people who have been to church know about God, not enough know God. Sometimes you just have to know God. How much do you need to know about Him to know Him? Just need to know He's your God. The rest comes. The rest flows. See, the problem is so many of us hear the scripture and just move past it, and I'm telling you right now, read it closer. If you can't get past this concept, if that's too evangelical or too charismatic to be born in the Spirit, Jesus says, you will not see the kingdom. If it's too much for you, you need to understand that Jesus is saying, you will not be in the kingdom. You just won't know him. You may know all about him, but you won't know him. That longest journey from the head to the heart, he wants to change your heart. So often we come to church listening to our head. That's what we want to hear about. We come, we get engaged, we do everything we're asked to do, we're moving along, and man, it is exhausting. But if we stop long enough, if we surrender, he may grab our heart and change us. We may find ourselves born again. A holy roller, perhaps. It's critical, according to what Jesus is saying. And we come with this expectation, no expectations, really. We come to church with no expectation that we would change. And worse yet, no intention of changing. Now, I could have come to church a long time ago and said, this is who I am, I'm never changing, this is the way it's going to be. You know where I'd be right now? Sitting in a pew. Frustrated with my wife, trying to think of what I'm going to do next week to make sure I don't have to get up and go to church with her. And then deep down inside of me, I would have to live with the struggle that would be going on, knowing I'm wrong. Because he already indwells you. You're already created in his image. The question is whether or not you're going to nurture the image of him within you. It's simply a willingness to shift our perspective. We come to church to offer. So many times we just come to receive. It's a shift from what do I want from God to asking God, what can I do for you? Now, we don't do it here. It's very subtle in the right two service, but in the right one service in the midst of the Eucharistic prayers. This incredible moment where your priest, this one anyway, places his hands on the corporal, a little cloth in the middle of the altar where the bread and the wine are sitting, the offerings to God for his transformation. And I put my hands on that corporal, symbolically holding all of you and myself before him. And I offer him ourselves, our souls, and our bodies. All of us offered back to God, who sent his only Son so that we may be reconciled to him. Who loves us so much, there's no way to measure it. But yet we have the measuring stick mounted on the wall. You want to know how much he loves you? Think about how many people you're willing to go to the cross for. Now things will change. When my wife and I made this journey, and I can stand here happily, openly, and boldly telling you, standing here before you as a born-again Christian, when that time happened, I had to look at my wife and say, I'm not sure how to really say this, but you're really number two in my world now. And she says, that's true for me too and you. And we rejoice together that what is number one in our life is our God, whom we share. And by his grace, we have one another to walk this journey for a time. And having that order in my life, understanding that foundation, that every single decision I make is based on this understanding of what can I do for you, God, instead of what are you going to do for me, walking in that way in the Spirit of God in every single place makes all the difference in the world as the years go by and we stay side by side and our vows become deeper in sickness and in health, and many of you know what I mean. I see it, I walk with you, and I'm encouraged by you. I know my day will come, hers sure will. Well, let's face it, I'm already falling apart. From that decision every single day to honor God in that moment, to the simplest things that we do every single day, like when that person has to cut in front of you in traffic, and they're going to do it whether you like it or not. In fact, they are willing to actually run into the side of your vehicle. And you, in that moment, have a decision to make. And you just roll back and say, God bless them. Whatever's happening in their world, they need to be ahead of me. If that 14 feet of progress is going to change their life so drastically that they're willing to tie us all up on State Road 60 for the next 4 hours waiting for a trooper, God bless them, let them go. See how your heart feels then as compared to when you get angry. And I know I'm just talking about myself now. When you get angry, you want to just force them out because you're bigger than they are, and I am bigger than they are on the road. You come up against my truck, are you serious? But when you roll back and you live in the Spirit of God, wow. And that's how he changes us every day, in every decision. It's a choice. It's your will. What's it going to be? Every Sunday, when you're wondering, should I make this plan or should I go worship my God? I say, worship your God. I've done a lot of things other than worship my God in my life that I wish I hadn't done. I've done a lot of those things when I should have been worshiping my God, and I wish I hadn't done them, in comparison to what I know would have happened if I'd chosen to worship him, if I'd chosen to live a life given over to him, a life that he models by giving his life over to us. It's a simple shift. Flesh or spirit? Decisions of the flesh are selfish and self-serving. Decisions of the spirit build up you, your relationship with Christ, and everyone around you. We have a choice. We can align our will with his, the one given to us, to be the final sacrifice for all that we have done and all that we will do. Or we can choose the world. Today, we have the great joy in the midst of Lent to have a celebration. Not very traditional, I know. Don't care. Reality is this. How can we not take the opportunity to celebrate bringing another soul into the body of Christ? That's what we get to do today. And as we're doing that, each one of us has the opportunity again to offer ourselves, all of us, all of who we are, to God. So we look forward to the moment coming. Brothers and sisters, don't forget, that moment is yours too. If we really want to go off script here and go evangelical, if you're sitting in this congregation right now and you're ready to give your life to Christ and you've never been baptized, the water's already warm, brothers and sisters. Don't tell the bishop I said so. But I'm telling you, we move when God's moving. Whether it be in the midst of the worship or whether it be in a ditch with an 82-year-old man and a weed eater. Move when God moves you. I pray he moves you today. I ask you all to stand.